You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. W Hunting Supply is focused on providing their customers with excellent customer service and superior products for the everyday houndsman. From GPS tracking systems and dog training equipment to collars, leashes, and a variety of customizable hunting apparel, W Hunting Supply has it all. For more information, visit dusupply.com. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
Find yourself in the pages of Full Cry as we dive into the archives of America's leading tree dog publication. Join us as we look back at decades of stories, articles, and more written by those bold enough to follow the echoes of a hound.
Howdy everyone, and welcome to From the Pages of Full Cry Podcast. I'm Corey Groover, and I'm going to be bringing to you a story straight from one of our vintage articles today. You know, starting a new podcast is a lot like getting a new coon dog. We all have expectations when we open up our wallets and open up our homes to a new hunting partner. Sometimes those expectations are well exceeded. But other times, well, let's just say that dog won't hunt. This story comes from the September 1983 issue of Full Cry, and it is simply titled Lum. That's L-U-M, Lum. It's a story about a boy who gets a new coon dog, and man, is he in for a surprise. Sit back and relax as we reminisce on some of the greatest hound hunting stories ever told. From the pages of Full Cry. It was a nice fall day in Kansas. I was 15 years old and kind of down in the dumps because I had just lost my big spotted coon and possum hound to distemper. I drove my Model T Ford up to the gas pump and told the man in the greasy overalls to put in a dollar's worth. The year was 1926, and at the time, a dollar's worth meant a full tank. On the other side of the pump was a long black touring car. This car had a California license plate and a porcelain nameplate on it that read Willis St. Clair, straight 8. It was unusual, but what took my eye most were the two beautiful, big, long-eared black and tan hounds that were sitting in the back seat. I couldn't take my eyes off of them. As I was walking back and forth, sizing them up, I just knew that they would take first and second any dog show and possibly best of show and reserve champion. The well-dressed man that owned the car had noticed my special interest in the hounds and started the conversation by asking, "What do you think of them?" "They are the best-looking hounds I have ever seen." He opened the rear door and the two bounded out and came over to me. They were identical, except that one had slightly longer ears, and it was the long-eared one that took a special interest in me, while the other one wandered over to hose down the pump and corner post. "How old are they?" "Just over 1 year," he replied, and reached for a briefcase in the front seat. He took out some papers and handed them to me. "These are their registration papers." The pedigree started unfolding, and it looked like a ticker tape at the stock exchange. To this was stapled a couple of blue and gold certificates that looked like the ones you'd see framed in the doctor or dentist's office. I told him about losing my hound, and when he was really showing promise of making a top coon dog on top of that. He sympathized with me and folded the papers back up and put them away. "How would you like to own that hound?" the stranger asked. "Boy, would I like that. But I just don't have that kind of money it would take to buy him." "Tell you what I'll do," was the reply. "If you'll take good care of him, I'll give him to you. But I want to keep the papers." With that, he reached over and removed the jeweled and studded collar and said, "Good luck," put the other hound in the car, and drove away. I probably stood there with my mouth open for at least a minute, all the time holding my new hound by one extremely long ear. Finally, I loaded Lum in the rear of the Model T and started to drive away, but the filling station owner shouted that I hadn't paid him the dollar for the gas I had put in it. While looking over the registration, I had noticed that Lum was the last word of the lengthy name written there in fancy penmanship. That must have been it, because he answered to Lum. Now, I just couldn't wait to try the Black Beauty out. So soon as we got home, I looked up a collar and a lead strap, and the two of us headed for a walnut grove a short distance from our home. As we approached, a big fox squirrel made about a 100-yard dash to the nearest tree, but that hound didn't see him, so I led him across the track. Lum come to a sudden halt, jammed his big nose solidly against the ground, and started sucking and puffing like a vacuum pump. That long buggy whip tail was making some fast circles when he threw his head up over his back and cut loose with a powerful ball that caused his front feet to come up and off the ground, and he slid or skidded backward a couple of steps. He made a couple of lunges forward and then repeated the performance. The huffing and puffing was getting louder, but he wasn't moving that track very fast, because each time he bellowed, his front feet came off the ground and either stepped back or skidded back a foot or two. Finally, I said, "Go get him, Lum." And that really did it. Encouragement was all he needed. Lum started spinning around in circles, and his voice seemed to get some anger in it. I really expected him to backfire or blow a soft plug and then take off at greyhound speed after that old squirrel who was hanging on the side of the tree watching the whole performance. That spinning around must have made Lum dizzy, because when he did bound forward, he was heading in the wrong direction. After making about 50 yards, he spun around, came back on the track, and was gaining some speed, but it didn't last long. He skidded to a stop and repeated. Now, me and that squirrel weren't the only ones witnessing this specular. A couple of cars had parked along the roadside, and the occupants of one were laughing and clapping. A man and a woman on horseback had stopped and were taking it all in. By this time, Lum had made so many back and forth trips over this 50-yard stretch that a path was beginning to show in the ankle-high grass and vegetation. I seriously thought about making a dash and disappearing into the timber before someone might get a close enough to recognize me. But instead, I snapped a leash on Lum and I started dragging him backwards towards home. Lum was so mad he was frothing at the mouth, and the bellers were so close together that they almost sounded like one continuous moan or rumble. When we got back home, I chained Lum up in the shed for fear someone might see him and think that he might belong to me. Next morning, before anyone else was up, me, with Lum on a leash, headed on foot for Cow Creek. Just as we were climbing the dike, a cottontail broke the cover and headed for a plum thicket. Lum didn't see him, so I led him over to the track. Lum took off in the wrong direction, but didn't have far to go where the cottontail had been hiding. When he got there, he was telling the world that he found where that rabbit had come from and invited me to come over and take a look for myself. I began to suspect that the name Lum might be short for lummox or lumbago, or some other word that stood for something. When after 10 minutes he refused to leave that little depression in the ground, I put the leash on him and dragged him away. He finally quit bawling and looking back, so I turned him loose. To my big surprise, he struck a track and was moving it in ever-increasing circles at the edge of a corn patch. The track was heading back towards the outskirts of town when a big yellow tomcat broke out of the cornfield into the country road. Lum saw him and with a mighty roar bounded down the road after him. The cat had a big head start, but Lum was gaining on him and bellowing at every jump. Suddenly, the cat turned off the country road into a driveway leading to a farmhouse. The cat made it to the back porch and scrambled on top of an ice refrigerator just as Lum was reaching him. A couple or so seconds later, the back door flew open and a mad lady in her bathrobe and a broom in hand hopped out on the porch and sized up the situation. Didn't take her long to decide what to do. With one big swing of that broom, she hit poor Lum on the fanny, hard enough to knock him end over end off the porch. For the first time, I saw Lum with his tail carried low. It was between his legs, and he had an expression on his face which showed that his feelings had been hurt. The husky lady with the broom spotted me standing on the road at the junction of the driveway and yelled, "Is that your dang dog?" "No, lady, he's not mine. He just followed me out here from town." "Is that so? Well, well, what you doing with that leech strap around your neck and over your shoulder?" I didn't answer that, but she continued. "It only take one shot from that .22 rifle you're carrying to put that worthless mutt on the way. But if you don't want to do it, let me have it and I'll show you how to do it." At that moment, her suggestion seemed like a good idea. But being as I couldn't think of anything to say, I just started walking back down the road. Lum caught up with me and fell in at my heels, just as if he had been obedience trained. I never tied Lum up after that. I just hoped he would leave and never show up again. But he was perfectly content with one full meal a day in a nice doghouse. One day, I noticed an old pickup truck drive past our place, then around the block and back again. I thought about going out to find out what they wanted, but it dawned on me that they might be dog thieves, and I was right. The next time around the block, one of the men was out of the pickup and motioning to Lum to come over to him. Now, Lum, not being so dumb, came trotting over to the stranger, who snatched him up and stuffed him into a big box on the back of a truck. That truck tore out of there in a cloud of dust, and when they were far enough away that they couldn't hear me, I started laughing long and hard. I had always wanted to pull a good one on a low-down dog thief. Man, it sure sounds like Sherman got the better end of that deal in the end. I can't help but wonder what that old dog thief thought about his new conquest, though. Old Lum sounds like a few dogs I've had in my day, that's for sure. I sure hope you've enjoyed this time we've had to spend together. Make sure to stay tuned for another great episode from the pages of Full Cry. See y'all.
Like what you heard? Leave us a review and make sure to tag at Full Cry Mag when sharing your own adventures. You can check out more vintage content and get your subscription to the all-new Full Cry magazine at www.fullcrymag.com. From the pages of Full Cry is a Full Cry production. We would like to say thank you to our sponsors and encourage everyone to support those who support our lifestyle. This episode would not be possible without the support of Alpha Dog Nutrition and W Hunting Supply. Until next time, keep those dogs in the woods and find yourself in the pages of Full Cry.